to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I have with me today a brand new friend from Surrey, BC, probably the nicest place in the world. James Howells is here. Art Spike is his name. I caught James interviewed on the Global TV Network, and I had to talk to him, and here he is. He's here with me today. James, welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate you having me on, giving me an opportunity to show my skills and creativity.
That is exactly why you're here. And to be able to watch you, your little spot on Global, come across, and they shared a little bit of your story. It was still playing in the background when we reached out, because we're like, okay, we're going to talk to this guy because we love what you're doing. And we love the fact that you're in that upcycling, repurposing space. And we reached out and we made this happen. I'm very happy that you have time for us. Now, tell me, James, what is upcycling?
Prior to meeting you, I don't know.
That's amazing.
No, I mean, yeah, now understanding and having conversations with you about it and seeing the fact that upcycling is like a positive reuse. You're kind of gone away from the word recycling, because recycling kind of means like grinding up old plastic bottles, but upcycling is using things in more of a creative and more of a purposeful way is what I'm kind of getting from it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see your store, actually.
Yeah.
We're out there. We'd like to come in and see. It's funny, I watched some of your other podcasts and things, because I wanted to, and some of the YouTube videos and things like that, to see what your store was about. And yeah, I got a little poke around your store virtually.
That's great. So if you're ever in the neighborhood, definitely you got to come by for sure. But the stuff that you're doing, James, are really interesting things. You're taking metal and you are repurposing and upcycling them. And what I love is this is relatively new for you as far as a side hustle, something that you're working through and working on. How did all this start for you?
Well, I've always been creative. It was something that's just, it's in me. It's a energy that has to get out of me. Ever since I was young, I was creative in many different ways. I basically touched on so much different types of media, painting with oils and acrylics and watercolors, and did lots of, as a young boy, model building. I think all kids did it, painting them up and spending the whole weekend with friends all gathered around the table, making models. It was a fantastic thing. We enjoyed it. And then that kind of moved into, doing art in school and that sort of thing. That was always an outlet for me as well. Moved into woodworking, lots of woodworking projects. That was kind of the next thing as my life went on. Later on with my wife and I, and we had two young boys, we bought a piece of recreational property that had a little kind of a shed on it, a little cedar shed, and we wanted to turn it into a nice cabin for our kids. And that was my creative outlet for about 16 years, was building the cabin for my kids and my family. Coincidentally, that ended up being the place. Part of our property has a rail line that runs through it. And the rail is always doing work on it. And as they go through, they discard their spikes and they just kind of throw stuff to the side. Some of it they pick up, but most of it they leave behind. It was always a funny thing. People would come up and visit with us and they would, oh, I found a railway spike. It's like, yeah, go put it over there with the other 500. There's so many railway spikes lying around. And this piece of property has also been a property that's had, it's a boat access lake property that has a long history of people being on the property. And so there's a lot of old rusty metal lying around. And I just started picking it up. And I looked at after the cabin was kind of done, I felt very, again, the percolation of desire and creativity to go. And I was looking at the spikes, and I think everyone has seen the show on TV, The Forged in Fire, and everyone was thinking they were making knives and stuff with railway spikes and things. And so my thought was, oh, I'm gonna start a forge or something. I actually tried. I did have a forge for a while, and I was, you know, banging railway spikes and trying to make knives and things. And I started to think, well, you know, if you put five spikes together, you make a man. You know, it's like, you know, one for the body, two for each arms, and two for legs, and you got a guy. And so I made my very first guy. It was a guy that sat down, and I pounded him into the top of my fence, and he was sitting there. And I just, as a joke with my wife, I said, what do you think we should call him? And I said, it's obvious. And I said, his name's to be Art Spike. And so we had a laugh at it, and man, sure enough, it just went from there. So it was like, then I was making spike guys that were climbing, and then there's lots of chain line around. So they were climbing chains, and they were, you know, just, it just, you I realized quite instantly that there was, it was infinite of what you could do with railway spike guys. They can be skateboarding, they can be windsurfing, paddle boarding, pretty much anything that you can think of. You can put a person in, you can put a spike guy in.
Nice.
And so I had my family and my friends at the cabin and the other people around, they were thinking, this is really neat. And I really, you made it made like a side hustle. It was not really, I never really thought of like this being an income.
Okay.
It never was that. It was more about the creativity of doing it. And then people would say, would you sell that to me? And I'm like, I didn't even really consider selling them. And then sure enough, he's like, you'd buy this? Like, I mean, I never really looked at my art as something that somebody would be interested in buying it.
Nice.
I don't understand why, but yeah.
It's nice that it comes from a pure place. You're there for the art. But I love that people are appreciating it as well, right? They're finding value in it. They're curious. They want to know how this happens. And I think you were mentioning when we talked earlier that, you know, metal is showing up at your house when you're not there now.
Yeah. Because then everyone was thinking, oh, look what he's used for this. He made this and the other. The neat thing, though, I think what really struck a chord in me was people started bringing me their ideas to make something for them that meant something to them. Mm. A good example is I had one lady, she came to me, her daughter was pregnant and it was going to be her first grandchild. And she noted that, you know, with the mother, her daughter being the mother of the child, a lot of focus was on her for obvious reasons. But her son-in-law, good man, obviously, she wanted to do something special for him. So she asked me, he was a big baseball player. Baseball was his thing. So she said, could you like do a spike figure like with a man and a child? And coincidentally, I had someone again bringing me stuff. They brought me a bunch of smaller railway spikes that weren't from the property. They just had them and they just wanted to get rid of them so I could create smaller people. So I made a railway spike man and a woman, and I'm sorry, a man and a child. And the child was holding like a baseball, and the father was carrying the baseball bat, and he had his arm around him, and they were walking kind of hand in hand. And I made that for her to give to her son-in-law, and she just loved it. And because it meant really something. It was personal to them, and it meant something to them, and it actually created some emotion for her. And it was nice to be able to do. And I've had a number of stories like that where people actually were moved by And I'm thinking, this is just railway spikes, but it's the way that they're get yeah. bent, and mm-hmm. and it's what it meant to them as individuals. And to me, that was pretty cool.
It's nice when you can interact with the person who makes the product too, instead of going to a big store and there's aisles and aisles of products. You don't know where they came from. You don't know who made this, but then when they can speak to you directly, come with their ideas, and then walk away with something in their hands that you've created for them, special for them. Like, that's the unique one of one thing that I love about upcycling is that, and repurposing, is people are getting something you can't get mass produced, right? You're making something special for them.
Absolutely. I've said this to everybody, anybody that's looking at my work, anything that you buy or anybody that wants of mine, buy or whatever, I can't even replicate it. The things that I use for, like, I just recently built a tractor, like an antique tractor. It's a one-off. I don't have any of those parts. All the parts that I use, I don't have duplicates of them. I don't have bins full of generic metal pieces that I put together like Lego.
Yeah.
That you can, it's every piece is absolutely unique. In every way, shape, or form. So anyone that gets something knows that it's one of one.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
So we use hashtags on our posts on social media as kind of a way to be searchable. And one of the hashtags that we use is one of one. And we post our products online so people realize that there is only one of these. And after it sells, I can't duplicate this. That's a piece of 100-year-old wood from a house that's being renovated in a community close to where we live. And once I run out of that 100-year-old wood, there's no more 100-year-old wood for me to just go to the garage and pick up, or go to a big box store and buy. There is none. That's it. So yeah. You're walking away with something unique and created just for you. And what I love is when you can actually use the materials that come from the people themselves, right? Yeah. We interviewed a gentleman named Stan Rutherford. He's in the States, a retired pilot, and all he does every day is pianos. Every single day, he goes and gets a piano and repurposes and makes it into something else. He'll take a piano that meant something to a family. The person had passed away. It was their piano, and he turns it into a shelf or some kind of thing that you can use in your house, but it has the memories of their loved one attached to it. Like, you can't get that stuff from anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in this day and age, there are a lot of people that put a lot of emphasis on that and understand that, yeah, you know, buying it at a big box store or, like you said, off of a shelf is not good enough. And to get to buy something and to give it as a gift or to keep it for themselves and know that it's one of one, it's the thing that stands out.
And what I love too about that one of one that we're talking about is sometimes people are very difficult to shop for, right? They might be the person who has everything, or they have money's no object or whatever. We had, again, in one other story, we had a lady come in at Christmas time to buy products for her son who plays hockey. And we thought it was a local team, a local player, and found out that he actually plays for the Predators in Nashville. And so he got Christmas presents from our store built out of hockey sticks. Like he could have anything he wants. I'm sure his car is much nicer than my car and his house is nicer than my house. But he unwrapped something from us at Christmas because you couldn't get it anywhere else. Right.
So are you creating this stuff? Like,
ourselves, and we have other vendors in our store that are helping us as well. So we're actually making this stuff. So it's amazing. Like we were talking before we hit record, it's amazing to talk to makers across Canada, US. We're going to talk to people in Australia, people in England who are making stuff and saving things from the landfill at the same time. And it's that whole circular economy of extending the life of fabrics or wood or metal or whatever that item would be that people just don't see use for, and creating new use. So that's exactly what you're doing. And that's why when this came on as a spot on the news, on the evening news, I'm like, I have to talk to James at ArtSpike, because you're living it. Whether you see the direct results of it right now or in the future. You're living it for people and people are identifying with it. We did. You're in Ontario. We're like, we got to talk to this guy. It's really, really good.
Yeah. Super cool. There was a lady that my wife and I were on a holiday in the Maritimes, and we were just out doing the usual daunt around, and we were recommended by the person that we were staying in their place to go to a place. And so we went there, and it was a store that had a lot of artisans providing product, but it was really high-end jewelry, like, you know, really high-end stuff. It was not really what we were looking at, but across the street, we just walk across the street, was this little venue, little place, little kind of wood structure, really nicely done, tastefully done. We walked in there, and again, but full of local artists. Some of the stuff was, I would say, fall under upcycling. They were using reclaimed woods and things like that. And but the interesting thing is, when I was looking at her stuff, I had said to her, I make some things, and if you're interested, this is what it looks like. Just for, it was just more for laughs. And when she was looking at it, she still made out of railway spikes. She goes, I got some railway spikes given, or I had to buy some from a friend because there's no rail in PEI. They've taken all the rail out of PEI. They've taken all the rail out of Nova Scotia. So there's no railway lines anywhere. And she said she paid $6 a railway spike. And I laughed and I said, I'll send you some for free. So I boxed them up and sent them to her. And a place called Box on PEI. And so I started sending her things, because railway spikes were quite a novelty in Prince Edward Island on the North Shore. And I've established a nice relationship with her, sending her out things, and she gets to meet people looking at stuff looking at my stuff that she sells. It's kind of interesting.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, James, what does the future look like for you and for Art Spike? Do you have plans to grow? Are you happy with where you're at right now? What is kind of in the cards for you down the road?
Well, I mean, I'm, you know, obviously my art is not my full-time job. I have a, you know, a full-time career that I just celebrated my 29th anniversary with the company I work for.
Nice.
I've been there a long time. Okay. Yeah, thanks. it's a very challenging career. And I would like, I mean, my retirement, this, I can see my art being my full-time retirement. I mean, you know, retiring from the job that I do and moving into my art. But one thing I'm very fearful of, and I've expressed this to my wife many, many times, art is not, anybody that's an artist will understand, art isn't, it's not something that you, a switch you turn on and you turn off. Yeah. Like, you just don't go, and if you just don't, I mean, when you're creative, but when you're not, you're about writer's block and all that kind of stuff. When you can't write, you can't write. But it's much the same with me with art. And I need to be motivated. I need to feel creative. So eventually I can see myself stopping what I'm doing for a full-time job, moving into more of a retirement role where it's not necessary if I'm selling my stuff. Selling, again, as I said right at the beginning of this, selling my stuff is not my main focus. I always look at it as, if you do something well and people appreciate for what it is, that takes care of itself. Yeah. That's not going to be the issue. For me, I want to be creative. I want to maintain creativity, and I don't want to be swayed by people saying, oh, you got to make me this and you got to make it by Monday. You know, that's not who I am or who I'm going to be. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where I can see myself moving towards, is when the money's not necessary. Yeah. I mean, trust me, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie to anyone that's listening to this. I'm not giving my artwork away. No. I mean, it's not a charity sort of thing, because I think people, you know, they'll pay what they feel is what they appreciate it to be. And I think that I'm more than happy to be a reasonable person, but it's not going to be something that I'm going to be leaning on for my retirement. That's for sure. It'll be the doing and the creating will be what I'm looking forward to.
That's interesting. Yeah. And it's that moment where your passion becomes a job, just like any other job, right? When people are looking to leave or retire from, when your passion becomes that sole income and that you're 9 to 5, you know, it's hard. You lose a little bit of the joy in creating when it becomes, if I don't create, I can't pay for my house, right? That's a stress that is hard to grapple with when you're a creator, you know, and trying to juggle your passion for what you do and the realization that you have bills to pay. So if you can kind of come at it from a different point of view, then you still have the creative edge. I like that.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I find myself fortunate enough to be in that position. I have a very supportive wife and family. My family is, I mean, it's everything to me, and they've been extremely supportive of this. I mean, talk about, you know, cheerleaders. They've been my biggest cheerleaders. And Frank, my friend that without me knowing went to Global News to start with all of this. I had no idea he'd even done it. I mean, he and I were, we worked together in the same company. And when Frank retired and moved on, I kept in touch with Frank, and I always shared my new creations with him, which he always got a kick out of. And him and his wife, they were always, you know, very supportive of me. I always said Frank was my biggest cheerleader. And without me knowing, he's the one that reached out to Global to say, hey, this is a friend of mine. This is some of his work. I think it's fantastic. I think he suits your This Is BC spot that you do. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, they came back and said, yeah, get him to get some more information to us, and we'd be more than happy to consider him for a show. And the rest of it's all history. But having the cheerleaders definitely helps.
Excellent. Well, Frank, wherever you are, thank you, Frank, for making all this happen, for bringing James into our life. This is really, really cool. I'm so happy we caught that. I work night shift right now to help support the store during all the COVID opens and closures and stuff. So I was actually getting ready to leave to go to work when your spot came on, and I'm sitting in my chair, getting my boots on and stuff, ready to go to work. And I'm like, what is going, I got to talk to James. So I'm so happy we were able to make this happen, James. This is really, really cool.
Excellent. Well, again, as I said to you, the fact that the interesting thing was, I was up at my cabin at the time when you sent the message. And we're an off the grid place. You know, there's no, you know, it's very off the grid. And so I had no idea that Global had aired the spot on the national news.
Wow.
So I had no idea. And then next thing you know, I get a WhatsApp message from Jay Durant saying, oh yeah, by the way, they got aired it on the national news. And I'm getting comments from people saying, you know, how can they reach out to you? And which made me laugh. So yeah, I told them, well, use my Instagram account, and you can use my my email account, and so
that is the best way, James, for people to find you. Is that Art Spike on Instagram?
Yeah, it's Art Spike 64.
64.
Okay. Because there's more than one Art Spike out there, believe it or not. But there's only one Art Spike 64. That's me. And my Gmail is, again, if people are not involved in Instagram for whatever reason, because I wasn't even 2 weeks ago. So believe it or not, there are people out there like me that didn't have any social media whatsoever. I kind of hidden from it. That's where my kids laugh at me. But my Gmail account would be artspike64@gmail.com.
Excellent.
So that's the other way if people can communicate with me, if email is easier.
Excellent. So if you're listening to this podcast today, thank you for listening to our podcast with James. From Art Spike, definitely go check him out on Instagram, and let's give him a flood of new followers, and let's go check out his work. He has passion for his art, and you can see it in everything he makes. And he's a very humble guest. Very nice to have you with us, James. And I'm so glad that we could be one of your first podcasts of many. And someday when you're big and famous, we'd love to come on your podcast and talk to you.
I'll call you up.
Excellent, everybody. So this is James Howells from ArtSpike. ArtSpike64 on Instagram. Go check him out. Thank you for being part of the Upcycle Canada podcast, James.
Thank you very much for having me on. I very much appreciate it.
Excellent. Take care.
Bye now.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life. dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aww. It's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.